part of the purpose behind this summer's messages on courage in the chaos, part of the purpose, and who's to say what God's entire purposes would be? I mean, I can't. But what I do know, part of the purpose behind these messages is to encourage people that no matter what you're facing, especially if you know Christ, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, then obviously there is a benefit to that that isn't limited just to heaven. It's also a benefit that we can enjoy in the life that we live on planet Earth. And I believe that God wants all of us to have a courage as we face these chaotic times that is out beyond ourselves. It's not, see, when we talk about courage, and as we go through the summer, I'm going to try to say this in as many ways, coming at it from every angle that I possibly can, both in all of my live events as well as these radio and our television programming. We're not talking about something that we muster up. Well, we just got to muster up some courage. That's not what we're talking about. Well, we just got to be brave and be strong. As wonderful as that sounds and as noble as that is, and thank God we can say those things, but that's really not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that comes from outside of ourselves, from God, into our spirits that we didn't even know we had. And I believe every single person has courage and has strength within them that they don't even know they have. And sometimes we find out in a moment of pressure or in a crisis situation. There's always two things that will bring out the character of a Christian like nothing else will ever bring it out, and that's crisis and conflict. You want to remember that. If you want to know who you really are, if you want to know the areas that the Lord wants to shine the Holy Ghost spotlight on, that you can target with the Word and change in your life, just put a person in crisis or in conflict and the real them will come out. And this is not something that, I mean, try as you might, you can't hide the real you. You can't hide it from God, and you're not hiding it from as many people as you think you are either. But I believe that God wants all of us to have courage. I mean, it's a courage that's outside of ourselves. It's a courage that when fear tries to dominate us, this courage that comes from God will rise up within us. When faith tries to flee from us, when frustration tries to distress us, when foes and enemies try to demoralize us, this courage will rise up. If the future depresses us, if failure tries to defeat us, if friends disappoint us, this courage that comes from God will rise up from the inside of us if we will allow Him to do His work in us. When fatigue tries to drain us of much needed life energy, courage can say, in the name of Jesus, and we can see a vitality return to us that we didn't know we had. Let me ask you a question before I get to our scriptures tonight. When was the last time you did something for the first time? I want to say that again. When was the last time you did something for the first time? You see, there's a certain spirit of adventure that comes with courage. And there's another word that is a twin with courage. The first word I want you to remember is adventure. And the second word that is a twin to the word courage is patience. Patience. Remember last week I told you when Paul listed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 the great attributes of the love of God. And this is the love that he has shed abroad in our very own hearts. Hallelujah. That we can love, praise God, with the very love of God. Not only can we, but we're commanded by the Lord to do it. You love with my love, he says. The very first attribute is patience. Love is patient. That's the very first one. That is a twin to the word courage. Show me an impatient person, I'll show you a person who's trembling inside. Show me a person that has no sense of adventure left, and I'll show you someone who is trembling inside. And these are things that God wants to instill in us. The only way it can be done, let me say this quickly, the only way it can be done is by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and He sent His Holy Spirit to work in our lives and bring these realities of courage to us. That's the only way it can be done. This is not something you can learn in a college textbook. This is not something you can listen to enough tapes to get it. Now, you should listen to tapes. And by all means, if you want to preach the gospel, go to college. Take some college courses. Absolutely. I'm 54 years old and still in school. Glory to God. Courses are good. Tapes are good. Books are good. But the only way you can really get this is by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and life. And in order to do that, you've got to allow yourself to be broken. In order to do that, you have to allow God to humble you. Now see, isn't it amazing? Think with me. Isn't it amazing how the people who are the least humble are the most afraid? I mean, put them under the gun, turn the pressure on. The ones who talk the most about how much love they have, the ones that talk the most about what they're doing for Jesus, the ones who talk the most about how much strength they have, many times they are the ones who are in the most fear, the most afraid, the most scared, and they tremble inside. Because they have to point people to their own attributes to muster up enough courage to get through a day. So they have to point people to their attributes instead of pointing them to the attributes of God that always giveth us the victory, the Bible says. Hallelujah. You can locate people so many times just by the conversations that they have. But God wants us to be a people of courage in these dark and chaotic times in which we live. In a time when all of the world, and sadly, sadly, too much of the church is focused on self. In a time where the greatest focus of much Christian literature and studies and books and sermons, much of the focus is on how to help you not to live your life hurt and wounded by others. It's a sad shame. I'll tell you, the Puritans didn't live that way. Glory be to God, the early church didn't live that way. They talked about, they extolled the virtues of Jesus Christ. That was their message, that was their song, that was their writing. That was their all in all. And in this modern church, we point people so much to themselves. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad time. And if you look at it through that lens, you can become depressed by the future. But God has given us some things that we can do to ensure that in the midst of all this that's going on, we can walk in courage, we can walk with hope, and we can walk in victory. Turn in your Bibles to the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. And I'm going to read 9 verses of Scripture. And I'm going to surprise you tonight. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 9. Here's what the psalmist said. Now, I want you to get a little background on this first. David is the one who wrote these words. And it was in the aftermath of a confusing and fearful episode in his life. He was hiding in a cave. He pretended to be crazy before the king of a particular nation, a particular tribe. But David had to come to a place where he learned to face his fear and regain his faith in God's power to deliver him from harm. And so we can liken it, I've told you before, and I don't remember what message it was, but you remember when I told you how that the Psalms have 3 basic applications to the Christian. Number one, the psalm refers to the writer who wrote it. In this case, it was David. Number two, the psalm is a picture, a prophecy, if you will, and a look at the emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ while he walked on the earth. We can see the feelings of God when he was on the earth as a man, but still very God, 100% God, 100% man. And the book of Psalms records his emotions. And thirdly, the book of Psalms applies to you and I as believers in 2017. And the things that we're going to go through, the struggles, the hurts, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows of life that we will go through serving Jesus Christ all these centuries and millennia later. So there's basically three applications to the Psalms. Keep that in mind as we read this. First of all, you can know then, with the second application that I've mentioned, that this psalm is representative of the heart of Jesus for his people today. This is what Jesus is in his heart. This is also how David dealt with a very crucial, painful, confusing episode in his life, and this is how we should deal with it as well. Here's what it says: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to stop right there, and I want to show you that David says several things there, several declarations that cause courage to rise up in the heart of the believer. The first thing he said is, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's very easy for a person to say. And yet I believe through the working of the Holy Spirit, it can become a functioning reality in our lives. I will bless the Lord at all times. Secondly, he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now let me ask you this. If I'm blessing the Lord at all times, and his praise is continually in my mouth, where do I have any room to run down my brothers and sisters in the Lord? Where do I have any room to put my opinion out there as gospel? Where do I have any room to set myself up as the judge of the universe verse and condemn the ministry in the body of Christ Jesus? I have no room because I'm too busy praising God. I'm too busy lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. So this first part, one way that it will help you to gain the courage that God has invested in you through the cross of Jesus Christ, it will help you control your wild and untamed mouth. Oh boy, you don't want this prophetic word, do you? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The third thing he says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. In the Lord. Jesus saved me. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my deliverer. Oh, it's not what I've done and can do for him. It's what he's done and will do for me. Glory be to God. Now we're getting into a grace mindset instead of trying to operate our Christianity out of a works mindset. See, when we're always looking at what we've done, what we can do, what we can be, when we say these little cute phrases, dream your dream. Hey, I love that dream of God dream. Absolutely. But we have to come at it from the perspective of grace and don't be all about works. How can you tell a Christian that's all about works? They judge other Christians. They put them down. They say it in veiled ways, thinking you won't recognize it, but the whole world does. They're operating out of a works mentality instead of, because when you operate in the grace of God, you love people. Halalakurabushe, you love people. Glory to God. So he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, and my soul shall make its boast of the Lord. In other words, that soulical part of man, what is that? The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So now I'm in a situation where I need me some courage. So my mind, my will, and my emotions need to be brought in line with the Word of God. I need to start talking to them. I need to start speaking the Word to them. I need to start saying, take courage in God. I need to encourage myself in the Lord as David did. And then he said, the humble will hear of it and be glad. Then he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. So he's inviting other people in to his magnifying of the Lord. And I love the next phrase. I love it. I love it. I love it. And let us exalt his name in the basement of my house all by myself in front of a television set. No, 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 no. He said, let us exalt his name together. Together. This is the same psalmist, the same prophet of God who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're going to have to come in and plug in with God's people in order to ever have the type of courage that you're going to need to make it through the times we're living in. Got to get plugged in. Got to get plugged in. Hallelujah. The church is a living organism and it is set for victory over every force of evil. And David is beckoning to his people. If you notice David's life, it's amazing to me. David, when he was hiding out in the cave, right? Afraid, talking to himself, allowing the Lord to work courage back into his life. Who did he deal with? He got the indebted. He got the distressed. He got the discontented. Now, how many knows that you can choose to be an indebted? You can choose to be distressed all the time. You can choose to be discontented and a little old mousy grumbler. Everything's bad. Everybody's hurt me. Everybody's done this. Everybody's done that. Or you can get in the cave and stay there until you come out a prophet of God. How many knows that's right? Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling you the truth. You can whine or you can shine, but you can't do both. You can let life defeat you. It would be very easy to allow life to defeat you. That's the easy route out. Or you can say, Holy Ghost, I'm not leaving this altar of prayer. I'm not leaving this altar of sacrifice until you change me. Until you give me a backbone like a saw log. Until you put a love in my heart for the church authority over me. Until you put a thing in me where I can reach out and not reach in. But I can look up and not look down. I'm going to stay right here until you release me, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me. When you pray a prayer like that, what, preacher? When you pray, oh God, help me. God, make me more like Jesus. God, change my heart. God, cause me to live in a way that would bring glory to you and not shame and dishonor. When you pray a prayer like that, the Bible says He heard me. I sought the Lord. That's your key, child of God. Seek His face. Seek His presence. Forget about His hand. Don't worry about His hand. God has already turned loose of all the blessings He's got in His hand, and He's just pouring it out, pouring it out. Don't worry about seeking His hand. Lovers don't seek each other's hand. They seek each other's faces. You hear what I'm saying? Don't worry about the blessing. Don't worry about the provision. Don't worry about all of those things. That will come. Seek His face. Seek His heart. Seek His presence. And the Bible said, He heard me. He heard me. God is saying, there's somebody seeking for me down there. There's somebody seeking me for a touch in their life. There's someone seeking me for a deliverance. There's someone seeking me for courage. When was the last time you did something for the first time? It says the people looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Glory be to God. How many knows when you get God in the middle of your situation, whatever that situation might be, how many knows you won't be ashamed when you're walking? Let me tell you something, child of God. There's a lot of stuff going to happen. There's a lot of stuff going to happen to you. There's a lot of people going to hurt you. There's a lot of situations that you're going to want something so badly, and for whatever reason, you're just not going to get it. It's going to happen to you. But I want to tell you this. God's love for you is stronger than any pressure that you will ever face in this life. In the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, where it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That word for tribulation there means to be squeezed in a vice. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Now, we're not talking about the great tribulation, okay? Let's stop here. Christianity 101 for just a moment. There's a difference between that period of time, 7 years, the time of Jacob's trouble, 7 years, the great tribulation. That's not what we're talking about. Then there is life tribulation. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he said. Now, he didn't say, be of good cheer, and then the disciples start murmuring among themselves, well, how can he say that? Doesn't he understand my problems? How can he tell me to be happy? How can he tell us to cheer up? Jesus said, hey, cheer up. I have overcome the world. So, child of God, if you're in Christ, and this is the thing that you really, really need to focus on in 2017. Because what God told me last October, in 2016, in the month of October, before the elections, before the bad weather of this spring, I'm going to tell you something about that bad weather in a minute. But what God told me was this. In 2017, I'm going to pull the masks off my people. I was shocked when I heard it. I was spellbound at the conversation His Spirit was having with me, but He said, there's a lot of my people who are playing the hypocrite. And that word hypocrite refers to a play actor in a Shakespearean type play that wore a mask. An actor that wore another face. That's the word hypocrite. And so in other words, what God's saying, He's not calling everybody hypocrites. He's saying, I'm going to take you and I'm going to force you to wear your own face. And if you'll let me, I'm going to make that face what it needs to be so that you don't need to go jump in the closet and get you another face because you think it looks like what you're supposed to be. He said, I'm going to start this process in an increased fashion in 2017. He said, I'm tired of my people attacking one another. I'm tired of my people whining and crying about how wounded that they are. Bring it to me, saith the Lord. Bring it to me. Give it to me, says God. I will care for you. I will minister healing to you. I love you, saith the Lord. And then get up as my child, as my disciple, and go reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ and lay yourself on the altar. You hear me? This is what God was dealing with me about in the fall. It was during that same time frame. It was right after Refuel. It started during the Refuel conference. Refuel always kicks a spiritual awareness open in me anyway. It started right during the end of that, all the way through even while we were in Virginia. And some of the messages that came out of that time were fear not and the God factor and telling believers how you can walk in victory. Jesus would not have told you to love your brother if you couldn't do it. He would be unjust. He would be unjust if he told you, be of good cheer, have courage, if you couldn't do it. But see, he's not unjust. And when he gives us a command, he always gives us the power. He always gives us the power. He never leaves us to fend for ourselves. And if you make it, great. And if you don't make it, that's okay too. God will never do that. So there's no excuse that we have, you and me. There's no excuse that we have to just say any old thing we want to say, act any old way we want to act, sin a little bit, but cover it with righteous language and make ourselves look like we're higher than other people in the body of Christ. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You're lower than many. You need to get that face off and let God put a face on you that looks to Him unashamed, as we read in the Psalms tonight. Don't put on a face that's fraud and phony and fake. Really have courage. Really be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You say, I can't do it, preacher. You don't know what I'm going through. God wouldn't have told us to do it if we couldn't do it. And I'm preaching to Len Paxton every bit as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. You don't know. Just like I don't know what you're going through, you don't know what I go through. Hey, baby, we all in this together. But this is the word of the Lord. Listen to this. So that word tribulation means to be squeezed in a vise, to be put under extreme pressure. Jesus said, you're going to have times in your life when that's going to happen. It could be a million different things. A loved one that passes away. A job that fires you right before you get to retirement. A home that comes apart at the seams from unseen reasonings that you don't even understand and can't even begin to comprehend, but all of a sudden there's destruction where wholeness used to be. It could be a million different things that's going to come against your life, putting pressure on the believer, squeezing the believer like they were in a vice grip. Satan doesn't want to make you cuss. He doesn't want to make you hate your brother necessarily. He doesn't want to make... I mean, all of these things are wrong and bad. Please understand me. But Satan is not after that. He's after your faith. And if he can't get you to deny that Jesus is the Lord, most people that I know would not do that. You know, yes, Jesus is the Lord. He's the Savior of the world. And because He died on the cross and I put my faith in Him, I'm saved. Okay, great. If Satan can't get you to deny that, he just wants you to believe that God is sleeping somewhere up in heaven and He's not looking at your life and He has no intention of helping you. He has no intention of doing anything to make your situation better. You're on your own, buddy. That's what Satan wants to make you believe. Because if he can do that, he's squeezing the courage out of you. Oh, you don't want this word. He's squeezing the courage out of us moment by moment, day by day, until finally we just settle for whatever is and whatever comes down the lane and whatever we come up against, we just settle for it. We change our dreams and our visions because the other ones seem impossibly too big for us. We lose the sense of adventure. We have no patience. We have little love. And we're hanging on for dear life to what might have been and to what used to be. And ladies and gentlemen, friends of mine tonight that tuned across my path, I tell you tonight with everything in my heart, that is not God's will for your life. Paul makes this statement at the end of Romans 8, 35-39. He says this, None of the extreme pressures that you will ever face in your life will ever separate you from the love of God. Paul said that. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You're so critical of the preacher. Look at what Paul went through. I could read you the list. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked many times. He was beaten with rods. And finally, he had his head taken from off of his shoulders. But yet he sits there and he tells you as a Christian, and he tells me as a Christian, nothing you can go through in your life will ever separate you from the love of God. Now, if that doesn't bring some courage into your heart tonight, I don't know what will. If you don't realize that, maybe you're not all you want to be. Maybe you'll never be all you wanted to be. Maybe you're not in a lucrative career, and maybe you have to stretch from payday to payday to payday just to pay your bills and put food on the table and clothes on your kids. Maybe that is your situation, but God loves you so much and He's intimately concerned about every detail of your life. And what I learned a long time ago, when I'm in my moment of struggle and I'm in my moment of pain and distress, God, what can you make out of me here? Hallelujah. I pray for the deliverance. I long for the deliverance. I wait for the deliverance. But God, what can you do for me in this condition right here? And I'm going to tell you, friend, that's where deliverance lies. Your soul is never more free than that moment right there. When it doesn't depend on a new car in the driveway, it doesn't depend on a mansion on Knob Hill, it doesn't depend on sitting at the head of a successful ministry, it doesn't depend on raking in thousands a week on your job, but when you can just say, give me Jesus, when I say I've got Jesus and that's enough for me, when you've never been more courageous and more free, oh glory to God, then you are right there. You getting me? Let's go back to our psalm. I'm going to wrap this up now. Glory be to God. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out. David is consumed with dealing with himself. He didn't say, my neighbor this, and my friend that, and my parents this, and my brother and sister that. He didn't say none. He was consumed with letting God deal with him. He said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now I want you to notice something, please. How could David say that God saved him out of all his troubles if he still had troubles? Then salvation from troubles must not mean the absence of troubles. David had constant war in his house all of his life because of his sin with Bathsheba. David made a lot of his own trouble because of his sin. You and I do too, friend. We make a lot of our own trouble. So if David said, the Lord heard this poor dude when he called, I'm a fool. In another psalm, he talks about how the fool has made his own trouble. He said, I'm the fool that made my own trouble, God. But he heard me and he delivered me out of all my troubles. But he didn't take the trouble away. That's obvious from reading the rest of David's life. So what was David talking about? David found a place in God. Listen, the next verse tells us, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Why is that? He's delivered me out of all my troubles and I don't want. David said that in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why does he say that? Is that because everything that his heart desires is automatically right there in front of him to meet his every desire? Absolutely not. Is it because that David never had any more trouble after he wrote Psalm 34? Absolutely not. Is it because that God just gave David a life of ease and luxury and streets paved with gold? He didn't have to wait till he got to heaven. He had it now. Is that why? Absolutely not. What it meant was David learned to trust him in all things. And the reason David had no wants is because God was all in all to him. And God was his everything. And the Lord became his sustenance. And the Lord became his desire. And the Lord became his hope. And here it is, saints. The Lord became his courage. He was courageous enough to run at a giant that was 3 or 4 times his size and said, I come against you today in the name of the Lord. You uncircumcised Philistine, some of you need to get angry in your spirit at the devil, clearly hear me please, and run them Philistines out your life. That Philistine of gossip, that Philistine of judgmentalism, that Philistine of a critical spirit, that Philistine of fear, that Philistine of poor me victim mentality, that Philistine of greed and concupiscence, that Philistine of false authority, that Philistine that's holding you back from being everything that God wants you to be. And God has a good plan for your life. Don't substitute yours for his. It pays to go the Bible way. Go God's way. His plan's better, y'all. His plan is better than my plan could ever be. There's two ways that we face the fears that we come up against and the pressures we come up against in life. We face it by fleeing or by faith in God. And I want to tell you something. Don't live a life of fleeing, because there's going to come a day when something's going to come you can't run from. There's going to come a day where you completely lose all control. And in reality, we don't have as much control as we think we do on any given day. In reality. That's why he said, seek the Lord. There's two ways we're going to face it. We're going to flee or we're going to have faith in God. David chose faith. My dear friends, tonight, let his decision motivate you to choose faith as you consider how you're going to face the fears, the concerns, and the pressures of your life. Because God, if again, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to read one more verse before I close. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and verse 6. But if the Lord tells you to have courage, if the Lord says, and Jesus came along to his disciples and he said, fear not. He said, be of good cheer. If he tells us to do that. Now notice that when the disciples continued to tremble in fear, Jesus didn't throw them away. Okay, we're not talking about God throwing anybody away. All right, just get that straight. But the truth of the matter remains, how do you want to face life? Do you want to face life constantly licking your wounds and crying in your milk? Or do you want to face life with a calm assurance of knowing that God's got this? He's in control. You know, what's the worst that could happen to Lem? Okay, I could go to heaven. All right, hey, that ain't bad. So there's not too much that's left to bum me out. And that's just how you get to the point where you have to look at it like that. Yes, we're afraid. Yes, we all face it. Yes, we have moments of terror. Not just fear, but terror. Especially in the world that we live in today. And there's going to come those times when there's nothing we can do to change that situation. There's going to come a moment we can't run. There's going to come an hour that everything we've tried to do has failed. We don't know what's going to happen. Let me plead with you, my brothers and my sisters. Let me encourage you tonight. Don't take it out on the rest of the church. Don't take it out on the fivefold ministry gifts. Don't take it out on your neighbor. Don't take it out on your family. When it comes right down to it, this thing's between you and God. And you're either going to get victory or you're going to suffer for it. God's not going to throw you out. When He told the disciples, "Fear not," and they continued to shake, He didn't throw them out. They didn't split hell wide open. Of course not. Jesus loves you. And as long as you confess His name before men, you're in. You're saved. Amen. As long as you believe, you're saved. But you're going to have a miserable go of it in the times that we're coming into. Courage is for one, and courage is for all. Lastly, you don't have to be a special breed of person to receive courage from the Lord. I want you to think about that a moment. You don't have to be super Christian. In fact, like I told you earlier tonight, God's pulling those masks off anyway. And everybody knows what we are. So you don't have to be super Christian to partake of courage from the Lord. In fact, you need to be broken Christian that don't work right. And then you'll begin to see and sense and understand your need for God. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm going to read down through the 9th verse as we close tonight and go back into some music to close the program. Be strong and of good courage. Now, that's what the Lord told Joshua to say. In my Bible, it says God's command to Joshua. And in that command, and in our willingness to obey His commands, is our commission to a lost and dying world. We will be used in ministry only so far as we are willing to be obedient. No further. Be strong and of a good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Notice in verse 6 he says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7 he says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now I want to say this before I read further. Brother Paxton, I've heard you say 100 times, if not 1,000, that we as Christians are not under the law. That's right. That's right. We're not under the law of Moses. That's not how we any longer approach God. But Jesus did give us some law. Maybe some of you can already tell me what it is. Jesus gave us some law. What is it? What is the law that every Christian should be operating in? The law of love. The law of love. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in other words, if you have the infusion of courage from God Almighty, you will be able to observe to do according to the law of love as a Christian in 2017. If you can't control yourself, there's a reason you can't control yourself. It's because you're fearful of something. You're fearful of how you will look if you let the other person get over on you, so to speak. You're fearful of how it will wound your pride. You're fearful of this. You're fearful. But when you receive an infusion of courage from God Almighty, you will observe to do all the law and everything that's written in there. That's not the law of Moses. And as Christians, we come by faith and grace. I understand that. But we still want to live right. And Jesus gave us some law. He said, love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. Didn't he say it? Okay, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but if you contradict the words of Jesus, I'm taking Jesus. All right. And he said, if you do this, you're going to prosper wherever you go. That scripture is still applicable to us today. You can't prosper. You will not prosper by stealing from people. If you owe money, pay it back. Hear me. Be honest. Have integrity. Even if you have to swear to your own hurt, do the right thing. God will bless it. Glory be to God. God will bless it. In verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Speak the word. You shall meditate it day and night. Meditate the word. Chew on it and chew on it and chew on it and speak it and chew some more and speak some more. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? That is a strong and military term. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whithersoever thou goest. King James said. Remember how I told you at the beginning of this message that a believer gets anything from the Lord? Faith in what Jesus did at the cross. Faith in what Jesus did. Faith in what Jesus did. It's not about what I do. It's about what He's done. It's not about what I can give Him. It's about what He's given me. When I really appreciate what He's given me, I'll have no problem giving to Him. I've never seen in my life a banana tree hopping around the plantation saying, I'm a banana tree, I'm a banana. Oh, I'm a minister, I'm called. I'm this, I'm a policeman, I'm a doctor, whatever, man. Go do what you do. You need to get the Word of God in your heart. You need to let the love of God shine through your life. And you don't do that necessarily by giving someone something, but talking real mean and bad and ugly to everybody else. You ever heard pastor's wives gossip? Thank God Angie's not like that. I'm serious. I ain't lying to you. I have to pry her mouth open even to tell me stuff sometimes. But have you ever heard ministers' wives gossip about everybody in town, man? Everybody in town. And then they're going to trot out and go try to love somebody. How are you going to do that? You can't wait to get back to your telephone ministry now. That's what I'm saying. 2017. It's going to be a year of courage. It's going to be a year of pulling the mask off believers and infusing them with courage if they will cooperate. Say that with me. Courage if I will cooperate. Courage if I will cooperate. Courage if I will cooperate. And by the help and grace of God, we're going to take this message everywhere we go. We're going to preach this message in one form or another. We're going to preach it under the titles of Courage in This Chaos, Contagious Faith, Hope That Built the World, because you can have it if you will cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You don't need to live defeated even if you're in chains. You don't need to live defeated even if you're sick. You don't need to live defeated even if you don't have any money. Even if you can't do what you've always wanted to do, where is your sense of adventure, man? How about maybe tomorrow? How about perhaps today? How about God's got this? And let us become patient adventurers in courage once again for Jesus Christ in gathering an end-time harvest that is busting at the seams, and souls are all but ready to run to the altars of the churches if the church would just open the door, and if the church would just receive them in and accept them and love them and teach them the truth and preach the real gospel to them instead of being so stinking focused on themselves. That's what God's doing. That's what He's saying in the earth right now, I believe with all of my heart. I've watered it with tears. I can't come to any other conclusion. Father, thank You for this time with Your people tonight. Thank You, Father God, and I ask that You would penetrate our hearts with arrows of deliverance, God, as we go back into Your presence and worship right now. Father, I ask that You would break every chain, set every captive free, and help us all to understand that Jesus is all that we need, and that Jesus supplies our heart's desire by becoming our heart's desire. And Father, I thank You tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has mantled this place. And God, I see chains falling right now. I see sicknesses being healed right now. I see people's spiritual eyes being opened for the first time right now. I see souls that are being saved right now, in Jesus' holy name. And we thank You for it, God. And as we go back and worship You, let our cry forever be in Christ alone, in Christ alone, in Christ alone.
In Christ alone.